KissRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime, Eric Young.
This is your favorite knockout, Kara.
This is WWE superstar, The Miz.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening on The Rock to God.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Well Talk Radio Network presents to you the Wrestling Radio Awards Best New Show, The Rack.
People are sheep, you understand me? They can't lead themselves, they need to be led. People buy and sell fear. I created war. And I think it's time for the masses to wake up.
Wake up and look at this lie they're living in, man!
The world is deteriorating between their toes, and they do nothing about it. They only stand there, they whisper and wonder, but they never do anything about it. But I've seen it all in my dreams and in my thoughts. And above everything else, I understand.
This is not the beginning. Stand.
Giving you unique insights into the world of professional wrestling in WWE.
Aw, Puddin'. You know, you've always been pretty, but you've never been the smart one in this relationship.
And TNA.
Look at these bookmarks they found.
My gosh, can two human beings even do that? Hey, but you know, my secretary borrows this all the time. She may have put something
yeah.
on there.
Yeah, look at, as a lawyer, you got to be careful with this kind of stuff. Look at, we're buddies, right?
Well, yeah, you and my brother are best, we're best friends.
I'm worried about you. I'm pretty much a scientist now. I'm going to help you with this. We're going to get to the bottom of it.
Huh? What?
I'm going to borrow your pad. I'm going to check out the rest of the
Borrow the pad?
Your flavor, man. I know.
Wait a minute.
The bottom of it.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
If you smell la 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 la, what the sock is cooking?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane. That's right, Mem Lane promo for all your memorabilia needs. And they might have some Olivia Newton-John stuff, but I sincerely doubt it. But go check them out anyway, because that's MemLanePromo.com. I'm, of course, Lindsay Ward, the host of the show. And joining me, as always, is my ever-digilant producer, Sir Rockin.
I am here. It is Throwback Thursday, y'all. Throwback Thursday, and we're going back to the year 1982.
That song is really 31 years old.
Uh-huh.
God, I feel old. song. Wow. Anyway.
Let's we get have a... physical. I don't know.
We almost have a clip for that.
Almost.
Anyway, we have a ton of stuff to get into, including some breaking news. We've got Impact. We have Slammy Picks, because yes, people, these Slammies are back, and they're going to be happening Monday, and oh my goodness, it already looks like it's going to be stacked. I can't wait. But before we get into all of that, we have our question of the night.
Our question of the night is this. It's simple. Do you think Daniel Bryan will join the Wyatt family?
And what's interesting is I saw WWE was asking that same question, too.
Mole.
Kane Kittens, we're looking at you. You're the mole.
Anyway, let's get into some news. Presented by PWMania.com.
Yes, well, we have to start with the biggest news.
Oh, what's that?
The Christmas special!
Ah, the Christmas special. Yeah, the Christmas special. For those unaware, Lindsay won't be around for Christmas.
I'm going back to Georgia, y'all. I'm escaping the cold. The frigid, awful, horrible cold.
Now, we thought we could just take the week off. Why do that? Instead, we are going to present to you something extra, as it were. In a Christmas fashion, a special Rack Christmas. A little extra show for everyone as we take the week off live, but we'll have a show for you, and this is where we need you. Right, Lindsay?
That's right, folks. Because we're doing something extra and something fun and just something festive, we decided to, you know, open up the chat lines, as it were, because, well, we don't have phone lines.
Yes, we do.
But we do. We do, but we don't ever open them.
Hell. All right. Make the plug, and then we'll do it.
You know what, hell? We'll open the phone lines. So we're going to do the famous, the scary, the terrifying, and the awesome Ask the Rack. That's right. You can submit your questions up until the week before Christmas.
Yes.
Friday?
Up until the Friday before Christmas, that would be the 20th around, let's say, 7 p.m. Eastern.
All right, you heard it. 7 p.m. Eastern on the 20th of December. You can submit your questions. You can submit them via Facebook. You can submit them via Twitter. You can send them to the email link, and what the heck, you can even call the phone number and leave us a voicemail.
Yes, you can. The email links are simple. It's contact@recradioshow.com or media@wildtalkradio.com. Or if you're so gutsy and you want to leave us a message, it's 267-297-1397. With your questions. Could they be Christmas related? That would kind of fit the theme of the show, but it could be about anything. But try for Christmas, y'all.
Yeah, try for Christmas, but we'll answer questions about the show, we'll answer questions about wrestling. Whatever you guys want to ask, we'll answer. And we'll be plugging this over the next couple weeks for the show. So get your questions ready, send them to us, because, well, we're excited to do it.
Yeah, we are, because we want to have some fun, and we want to interact with you, even though we won't be live for Christmas week.
Exactly. So it's kind of our gift to you and ourselves, because I'm running away from the freaking cold!
If you haven't guessed, it's cold in Utah.
Cold does not describe what it is in Utah. It's 11 degrees outside right now. That is insane. That should be illegal.
That's totally not kosher.
No, it's not kosher. I demand a heat wave. I'm literally under two blankets right now. I'm not even kidding.
I believe it. It's currently 50 degrees here in Philadelphia.
You know what? Shut up. Just shut up.
Yes, smart-ass questions get really smart-ass answers.
Yes, they do.
Yes.
And the more smart-alecky, the better. Just pointing that out.
Yes.
We will take all comers. Just pointing that out.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, let's go ahead and get into the news that once again is brought to you by PWMania.com because, well, somebody else is excited.
Who's that?
Caitlin!
Ah, that's right. Caitlin got engaged.
That's right. She got engaged over the Thanksgiving holiday. A huge congratulations to her. She tweeted out a picture of the ring, which is gorgeous. So congratulations to her and her Bo, I don't know her fiance's name.
He's a professional bodybuilder, that I can tell you.
He looks like it.
He is a professional bodybuilder. PJ Braun is his name.
Congratulations to her and PJ.
Yeah, he popped the question after last Tuesday night's SmackDown taping in the Mohegan Sun in Connecticut.
And nice.
He wasn't going to do it. But he thought he actually lost the ring and then got it back and wasn't going to waste any more time, so he did it that night.
Wait, he lost the ring?
Uh-huh.
Please tell me he misplaced it and he didn't lose it in, like, a poker game or something.
He misplaced it, yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry, he proposed to her at a casino. The first thing that my mind went is he lost the ring. Oh god, he didn't gamble it away, then he had to get it back,
No.
Okay, fair enough.
He was planning on asking me today, Friday, while we were in New York City, but when he got to Connecticut, he lost the ring in the airport. So he sits down with me in the big suite after SmackDown, and we're laughing and hanging out with his family, and he's telling me this ridiculous story about how he lost and eventually found it. After that, he knew he had to ask me the next time he saw me. She had no idea it was coming. So there you go.
Well, that's kind of an awesome proposal story. So once again, congratulations to Caitlin and PJ. I'm so happy to hear that for her. And, well, sadly, all the fanboys are sort of in mourning now.
I think Big E's in mourning, too.
Yeah, poor Big E. There's more fish in the sea. I promise. And I have no transition to this, but for other celebratory news, Michael Hayes has made his return to WWE. He's back after a lengthy, I guess, sabbatical from the company.
Yeah,
after dealing with personal issues.
Yeah, we'll go with that. Sabbatical, personal issues. Yeah, Michael Hayes is back, and he will be assuming his roles once again. Maybe that will help take some pressure off of some folks in Connecticut.
Yeah, which we're going to be getting into, because, well, some interesting things have happened in Connecticut.
Yes, they have.
WWE also announced that their Tribute to the Troops show will be taping and airing soon.
Yes, they have. WWE announced on Wednesday that the full details of this year's one-hour special, which will air Saturday, December 28th, at 8 p.m. Eastern on NBC. It will include... It'll be headed by former American Idol contestant Daughtry and NBC TV host Michelle Beadle. You'll have a special celebrity message for the U.S. military troops from Will Ferrell, Bruce Willis, Ryan Seacrest, Christina Applegate, and Stephen Colbert. WWE noted the event will emanate from the McCord Air Force Base in Washington State, which was the result of WWE working closely with Washington State Governor Jay Inslee in selecting the joint base. Base for this show.
Awesome.
So the one big thing coming out of it, there is no announcement if we're going to actually get a two-hour version of that show on USA like we've been getting, or if it's just going to be a one-hour deal.
That's something to think about.
Mm-hmm. Also to be noted, WWE said that CEO Vince McMahon, Big Show, R-Truth, Eva Marie, and Alicia Fox will go on an international goodwill tour to visit U.S. troops overseas.
You can leave Eva Marie behind, just pointing that out.
And I don't think she'll have any problem with that. Bam! Anyway.
Nope. And now transitioning out of WWE, at least for a little bit, because we've got, like we said, huge WWE news that broke tonight. Tommy Dreamer has been added to the 12/28 TNA pay-per-view taping in Lowell, Massachusetts, where he will be facing Ethan Carter III in a tables match.
That would be the Hardcore Justice event a couple days before hashtag old school, where he faces Bully Ray.
Yes, and if Tommy Dreamer put out a fantastic promo about Bully Ray and himself. I believe it is out on his YouTube channel. Go check it out if you guys haven't seen it. It's wonderful. He gives you a little history lesson.
He does. Go check him out at the Tommy Dreamer on Twitter. You'll probably be able to find the link very easily.
Yes. And now we're going to get into the big, huge breaking news, kind of, sort of, where it all kind of glomps together. WWE announced that, well, they're going to CES.
Yes, they're planning a big announcement at the annual CES conference in Las Vegas in early January. According to Technology Tell, WWE CEO Vince McMahon is scheduled for an exclusive event at the Wynn Las Vegas on Wednesday night, January 8th. McMahon's presence, as opposed to others, indicates this will be a significant event.
And, well, could this tie into the other news about the network that broke?
See, there, yeah. So, Lindsay and I were sitting here going, what could this announcement be? And we thought, okay, it has something, since it's electronic, Expo has to be something electronic. Maybe it's something to do with the app. Maybe they're launching something. Well, according to sources, mainly at WrestleZone at this point, are the ones reporting this story, so take it with a grain of salt, but we feel like it should be mentioned, because there are some details that have been announced prior, including the date, which is February 24th, for a launch date. The WWE Network will be the launch date for the WWE Network. The price point will be $10 to $12 a month, which we all thought, and there'll be, you have to sign up apparently for 6 months right off the bat, so it's one big $60 purchase up front. Now, here's the thing. You'll be able to watch WrestleMania 30 on this network. since you're paying for the $60, and that's how you, that's the deal. Here's the twist. As of now, it won't be a television network. Like a channel on your TV. But rather, along the lines of a Netflix-type deal. That'll be available on smart TVs, PS3, PS4, Xbox 360, Xbox One, and, you know, your iPads, and all the like. Basically, it'll be a live 24/7 stream of content on the network. So it's a live stream. So it's a little different than Netflix because that's on demand.
Right.
But there'll still also be some on-demand viewing, apparently, with this network, which will include every single episode of Raw and SmackDown ever.
Ooh.
That's what's being thrown out there right now, and apparently a lot of pay-per-views will be available at the launch as well.
Very, very, very interesting. Well, I told you when we were talking about it, the announcement of Vince McMahon going to make an announcement at CES, I told you it probably had something to do with the network.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't know what CES is, if you're not familiar with it, it's the Consumer Electronics Show. It is the biggest electronics show, or one of the biggest electronics shows in the world. It's held in Las Vegas every year, and pretty much everybody and anybody in the electronics industry is there. You have TV providers, you have video game providers, you have Microsoft, you have Apple, you have pretty much everybody there. And this is the convention where they announce and they launch all the products that are going to be coming out in 2014 and beyond. So it's like, you know, this is where when the 3D TVs came out, this is where they got launched. Those kinds of things. So this is the place to make an impact and make these kinds of announcements. So this is a pretty big deal, the fact that WWE and Vince McMahon in particular are going to CES, and they're making this announcement at CES.
Right, and let's be clear, we're not sure if this is the actual announcement being made at CES or if this is actually happening, but this is the report that a lot of places, including PW Mania, has picked up on, and hopefully as the weekend goes on, more will confirm it, whether or not this is accurate or not, but we figured it is big enough to give you all the details tonight on the show, because I've heard these rumblings before that they were thinking about doing something like this. I thought they would still launch an actual physical network, and they may still do that at some point. But if this is one part of it, that's cool. I still want it on a channel.
I think the channel is coming. It's just something of they have to be able to get a channel, and that's been what's really, I think, the holdup on their side of the network is the fact that they can't get a channel to physically put the network on. It's either somebody doesn't want to sell to them, or they can't get one.
Right.
And so it's something of, well, we have all this content, we have everything ready. And they're really kind of being smart about it to make it a streaming service, to make it kind of like Netflix where you can see everything. And for $10 to $12 a month, that's not a bad price. That's competitive with Netflix,
right,
you know, and other streaming services. So that's actually a really good deal. And the fact that you have to sign up for 6 months minimum and you get $60, you know, that's a $60 payment up front, that's still not bad.
That's not bad because it includes the $70 WrestleMania right off the bat with the network. And it's one of those things where it'd be cool if it's on actual physical cable, but if it's a stream, like, again, it's going to be an actual network just on new technology, that's a nice step for them because, again, they're big on this whole social media technology kick. They'd like to be the first to do things, and they'll be one of the first to do this. Not the first, but one of the first.
Right. So this is going to be cool. And like we said, we don't know if this is the actual announcement, but either way, whatever the actual announcement is going to be, it will be big.
Right.
Because Vince is making it, and it's at CES.
Right.
So keep your ear to the ground around the beginning part of January for this announcement, because I have a feeling it's going to be huge.
Yeah, the announcement comes on the 8th. We're on air the 9th. You know, we'll have all the details, hopefully, for you by then.
Yes. But speaking of huge, speaking of shakeup, speaking of groundbreaking, well, That's not the only big WWE news we have.
No, it's not.
WWE has made some corporate changes.
Yes, yes, they have. They have switched around some positions. Michelle Wilson, formerly Chief Marketing Officer, has been promoted to Chief Revenue and Marketing Officer of the company and will now oversee all the company's revenue lines and assume responsibility for WWE's $900 million retail consumer product business. Wilson retains her current revenue generating responsibility for sponsorship sales, pay-per-view, and new business development and will continue to oversee all WWE marketing and corporate communications. Wilson is also spearheading the company's efforts to launch a WWE network and will continue to report directly to Vince McMahon. George Barros, formerly Chief Financial Officer, has been promoted to Chief Strategy and Financial Officer and will oversee all the company's strategic planning processes and take over management of WWE day-to-day television operations. He will retain his management of financial planning and investor relations. He is co-leading WWE's television rights negotiations and will continue to report directly again to Vince McMahon. And the big one. Stephanie McMahon, formerly Executive Vice President of Creative, has been promoted to Chief Brand Officer and will lead WWE's efforts to further enhance its brand reputation among key constituents, including advertisers, media, business partners, and investors. McMahon will serve as the company's brand ambassador and work with WWE's business units to support key growth initiatives. McMahon will also lead WWE's targeted youth and moms marketing programs and will continue to report directly to, once again, WWE Chairman and CEO Vincent Kennedy McMahon. Now there's a little twist with Stephanie McMahon that we learned that we learned this evening. Apparently, she is now the face of World Wrestling Entertainment from a business perspective, as you basically can tell by her new position as Chief Brand Officer. She will be, besides this one big announcement in January, she will be the face of WWE for all big events. She is going to basically be the public figure of the company, while Triple H, at some point, will be the wrestling end of the company.
Yes, for those of you that aren't aware and didn't hear, Stephanie McMahon stepped down as the head of WWE Creative, and Vince has been supposedly running things. It was announced, or it leaked out, or whatever, I guess PW Insider basically called WWE and they made inquiries about the WWE creative team and how it's, you know, fitting now into this new corporate structure that was announced with all the changes. And they issued the following statement that basically says, creative writing now reports to Paul Levesque, EVP of talent and live events. In addition, Stephanie McMahon has her expanded responsibilities as the chief brand officer, but she will continue to maintain a presence on TV. So now creative is coming under Triple H, with Vince still being the final say-so, but that sort of explains what we've been seeing on TV potentially in the last couple weeks, as far as obviously the very dramatic shift in writing and the fact that it's now settling out and we're seeing now a push on certain things in WWE again.
Yeah, yes we are, and Triple H and Vince McMahon are now responsible for the day-to-day operations of the television angles. The writers are doing what they're told, not that they're the ones coming up with the ideas. They're just writing to write for those two to make them happy. So if you have problems, it's not always the writer's fault. It's the guys creating the angles. That said, go ahead.
Pretty much, but, you know, this kind of leads to an interesting thing. Obviously, Vince McMahon is taking a step back from the public side of things and is now concentrating back on the wrestling product again.
Right. It's sort of a role he's always had. For a long period of time, he was not the public face of the company, especially during some of the years, the bigger years with the company, because, well, Vince McMahon, as we all know, can get in the people's faces and is not always the guy who plays ball with people. You need that wholesome face of the company, especially with the PG era. Steph McMahon is the perfect person to be the face of the company, because since she is a mother and that's the demographic they try to hit. If you think about it, she's fitting into the role left by her mother, Linda McMahon.
Absolutely, 100%.
So it's just one of those things, you can see Vince is stepping back from stuff he doesn't like to do, focusing on stuff he likes to do, and Triple H is gaining some more power there, because the eventual takeover will happen within the next 3-5 years, something like that, probably.
Something like that. This is probably Vince is now able to take a step back from really being the public figure of the company and go back to doing what he really loves, like you said, which is being a part of the wrestling product, which is being with the boys. That's where Vince really wants to be, is with the boys and on the road and that kind of thing. And it's probably he's doing something with Hunter, working with Hunter, probably still showing Hunter a lot of the ropes on how it's run from a day in to day out basis.
Right.
To get Hunter trained to eventually take over as far as the operations and the running of the company from a wrestling / road perspective, because you figure with all the components that are involved in that, there's a lot to learn, and there for a long time, Vince did it all.
Vince McMahon did it all, and this is one of those things where Vince is now teaching his son-in-law the business part of it. Hunter may know things, but he has to know how to do them fully.
Right. So this is the chance for him to learn, and for Vince to not only really teach Hunter, but for Hunter to learn, and also, you know, father-son-in-law bonding process.
Mm-hmm. So, it's going to be interesting for those who don't like how creative is going. Well, it's almost WrestleMania season. They always seem to pick right back up.
And they're already starting to do some interesting storylines, as we're seeing on TV.
Yes, they are. There are some interesting storylines, including the Wyatts, which is our question tonight. Do you think Daniel Bryan will join the Wyatts, which we will discuss here later in the show? Speaking of the Wyatts, though, Lindsay. We happened to catch some stuff on WWE.com yesterday. They're in a comic book.
They are in a comic book.
WWE is launching a new comic book, if you haven't realized. Authored by Mick Foley, I believe.
I don't know if it's authored by Foley. I know he's a part of the project, but I'm not sure if he's written it fully.
Mick Foley is part of the new comic book that is out there. You can see pictures available on WWE.com, but you can see some faces in there, including the Wyatts. The Undertaker is part of it. CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, Sheamus, AJ Lee are a part of it. It's very Triple H is involved. Yeah.
Paul Heyman, I believe McGillicuddy and Lesnar are in there. Zeb Coulter, Swagger, Cesaro. It's an interesting concept. It really is, because basically it's taken all the WWE characters and it's put them into real-life situations and real-life jobs. Like, for example, Taker is a tattoo artist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Coulter is the warden of a jail, and Swagger and Cesaro are obviously, you know, his lackeys. I haven't figured out what Punk does yet, but it's probably Punk just being Punk, because, you know, it's...
That's Punk.
But yeah, it's... The 10-page preview is available online. You can find it. It's kind of interesting, although I'm still trying to figure out why the Wyatts, and when I say the Wyatts, I mean Rowan and Harper. Bray has not been seen yet, but he's been mentioned, so I think he is a part of it. But Rowan and Harper are at least a part of it, and they get their butts kicked by the Big Show after stalking Punk.
yeah.
So it's just... Go check it out. It's kind of interesting.
It is kind of interesting. It'll be interesting to actually take a look at when it's available. I believe it's available next week.
So, and it's going to be available in comic shops, isn't it? Online in comic shops?
I believe so. Check out papercutswithaz.com for more information.
Ooh. I look forward to this. Maybe we can get Mace to do a review of it.
Maybe he can bash the book.
Maybe he can bash a book while he's doing his games garage.
Friday's 9 p.m. Eastern right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ding! Cheap plug. So, with... We're such shameless shells.
Right.
So with that, I'm out of news. Are you out of news?
I'm out of news. I say we head back to break for more Throwback Thursday.
All right. Well, when we come back from Throwback Thursday in the break, we are going to be talking all about tonight's exciting Impact. What happened? And apparently, you know, did people have a match? Did belts change hands? Did belts return? Well, you're just going to have to come back and see. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. Let us never lose our yearning to keep the fire burning all night long. You've been changing so much, I'm not sure you're in touch with what's real. You just come and you go and never let it make know how you feel.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Oh,
that's
right. How the
show
was just recently.
It was this past Sunday. It's a plug into a segue.
Hey, wait. Give me a minute. I got another call. Give me a minute. I'll be right back.
Really?
Come on, no. Man.
Tell us how you really feel, Rob.
Like, if I was driving right now, I'd probably wreck into a tree. Everybody just stop what they're doing, and we'll just have to wait.
Most Matadores versus the real American. You all
I'm
pick...
I'm going with that. Never mind, sorry. You're... We're not making it. I see him too, and actually, I was, like, all excited. Oh, that's so funny. Not that I didn't expect that.
No.
Somehow.
No. No. As luck would have it, I believe Lost Matador is one.
Yep, and see if I seen him face a couple of Mexican guys on main event, and they were pretty good. I would have picked him if I had seen him. I would have. They were Tito Santanas. That's what they were. They're the new Tito Santanas.
New tweet posted live on CB Radio. Subway picking an event that already happened. Let's see how he does. Can't be worse.
But I mean, that pick, I was going to make picks I've already made picks from. I bet you my picks would have been different, too.
All right. The team of titles on the line. AJ Lee versus Brie Bella. Who do you pick?
Oh, I picked Brie Bella. I do remember that.
You do? Brie Bella lost the match with Ace and Rob picked three. So you picked AJ Lee.
Oh, my God. Get the fuck out.
I believe you changed it.
Thanks, Rock. Oh, shit. Well, that's one for me, because I'm sticking to my original pick.
Jay was completely in the garbage. Thank you,
I told you, I'm my own worst enemy.
He's coming. Just, like, bumped my HP up to, like, almost full health now.
Tune in to CB Radio, Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with the Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply dabomb.com.
Hey, what's up? This is Kaz. I'm great. You're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane. That's right, MemLanePromo.com for all your memorabilia needs. If you're just joining us, you missed our fantastic news segment where we talked all about the shakeups in WWE and some announcements in, well, concerning CSS, or I should say CES, good lord if I could talk. And also, well, for those just wondering, we have breaking news, the Houston Texans fell to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Good lord, I can't talk. 27-20, which, well, that doesn't affect Pick'em, does it?
No, it really doesn't. But if you're the Houston Texans, you lost to the Jacksonville, who couldn't win a game for like the first 12 weeks of the season.
Yeah. Just pointing that out.
Maybe 10 weeks, but whatever. Still, they were 0-1, whatever. For a while, and yeah, now they're like on a 3-game winning streak, 3 or 4 or something like that.
Well, more power to them. That's all I can say. But well, now we're gonna move away from football. Just had to give that update because we've got to talk about tonight's exciting Impact.
Yes, we do. There was a lot on this show.
And well, the show opened with Kurt Angle. You know, he came out to the ring. He waved to the crowd. Oh. He's being the, I guess, the good face of the company.
Hold on. Bully Ray didn't open the show?
No, Bully Ray did not open the show. I know, Stunner, right?
Right.
No, Angle grabbed the mic and noted that, well, last week was Thanksgiving, and he then, you know, gives a speech about what he's thankful for, noting that he's still questing for that TNA Hall of Fame. Therefore, he has to win this TNA title tournament because he has to become, you know, that TNA champion just one more time. So before he continues, Angle then proceeds to call out his semi-final opponent, Magnus. Magnus then comes out and, you know, they basically replay the events of last week where Magnus left Angle out in the ring, you know, during the 4-on-4 Survivor Series style match. Angle asked Magnus about leaving him high and dry. Magnus basically replied by saying, well, he has more respect for Angle than anyone else. And, you know, he said he went through war fighting Smojo on his own in the first round, but he still decided to fight with Angle last week, but his knee kept buckling. You know, he kept having problems with that knee. And he said he had to make a decision in the heat of the moment. Angle replied that champions fight hurt, damn it. Angle said his knee is injured.
Hold on. Angle won a gold medal with a broken freaking neck. You can't work. You can't wrestle in an elimination tag with an injured knee. Come on now.
Right? Come on, Magnus. Come on. Man up.
Have that heart of a champion. Come on.
Well, you know, funny you mentioned the heart of the champion because Angle said his knee is injured as well. And as we know, Angle won a gold medal with a broken freaking neck. So he proceeds to then question whether Magnus really has the heart of a champion. You know, and then a handful of engaged audience members shouted, no.
No!
Thank you, audience. Thank you so much for your smart aleckness. We love you for it.
Welcome back to Orlando.
Yeah, pretty much. Magnus replied that he is hungry to be world champion, and, you know, for the very first time, and he will go through Angle and anyone else to get that title. Magnus then vows to prove it tonight. Angle says that they're friends, but, well, Magnus is in the way of his destiny. Then, out of nowhere, we get a Bobby Roode in his sparkly, sparkly robe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Roode says he gets it. You know, he's got the heart of a champion, but he's also hungry to be world champion. And he knows all about these things because, you know, he's a difference maker. Because he's got the one thing that, well, Angle and Magnus may not have.
What's that?
Killer instinct. You know, he's the guy that he tried to do it right. He tried to be the good guy and win it fair and square against Angle at Bound for Glory. And, well, he failed to do it. So what did he do? He smashed a beer bottle over his best friend's head and stole the title from him. And it's that killer instinct that will carry Bobby Roode to the title. He then adds that Magnus will never be world champion. But, well, it seems Bobby kind of forgot someone.
He did forget someone.
He did forget someone. Well, it seems like before Bobby can win that title and once again climb the mountain, he's got to go through Jeff Hardy. And Jeff Hardy proceeds to interrupt, and, you know, he comes to the ring dragging a table.
Yes, yes. Oh, can I? Let me sum up with this promo for you, all right? He went, Hardy, 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 Hardy. That's pretty much what he said.
Yeah, pretty much. I didn't hear a lot of what Hardy said. You know, basically after the crowd woke up when he came out, Hardy basically vows to put Roode through a table to advance in the tournament.
Hardy, 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 Hardy.
Yes, he and the creatures, once again, gimmick infringement.
Hardy, Hardy.
Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
So this was an okay opening segment?
It was an interesting way to open up the show.
And I kind of like the back and forth between Magnus and Angle.
It was good. Roode was good too. Hardy seemed very out of place, but it got us into the opening contest.
It did get us into the opening contest, which was Jeff Hardy and Bobby Roode facing off in a tables match.
Alright, so here's the deal with this tables match. Pretty good stuff early on. They both ended up going through a table. And this is where I asked Lindsay, who won? Who wins if they both go through the table at the same time? Well, they went to break, and they figured it out. You had all the refs come out. And senior official Earl Hebner made the call that the match would continue.
Yeah, good old Earl.
Oh, Earl, we're going to get more into Earl here in a bit. So they had a pretty good match, and eventually Roode got knocked off the apron into the table, allowing Jeff Hardy to move on. The match was good.
The match was very good. We saw Jeff pick up the victory when he kicked Roode off the ring apron and through a table. I mean, I am not a fan of Jeff Hardy. Okay?
Hardy,
I'm just going
Hardy,
to, you know,
Hardy.
Throw that out there. I don't care for Hardy. He doesn't do anything.
You don't like Jeffrey Nero Hardy?
No, I really don't. I'm sorry. I'm sure he's a wonderful person and everything. It's not personal. He doesn't do anything for me wrestling-wise.
Gotcha.
So, you know, it's like, it's Hardy versus Roode, and it was a great match, don't get me wrong, but it's like when Hardy comes out, it's just kind of like I sort of tune out a little bit, because it's like, oh, it's Hardy. You know? So.
I understand. But Hardy moves on, he's moving to the finals, which will take place in 2 weeks.
Yes, but I was a little disappointed that Hardy moved on. It's like, I would have liked to have seen Roode.
There went my pick. See, unlike Lindsay, where she makes 5 picks, I only made 1.
Hey, you know what? You could have reserved the right to change your pick. Just pointing that out.
I know, but I want it to be fair. I didn't want to make pick after pick after pick. I made 1, and now my pick's gone.
Hey, you know what? I made 2. And my second one, he's still in the tournament. Thank you very much.
For now, till we get to the main event.
Yes, till we get to the main event. But moving on from here, we cut to the backstage where we see EC3 getting his makeup done.
His lips are chapped. He had chapped lips.
He does have chapped lips, so you know you have to be gentle with the brush, because you know you totally can hurt chapped lips with a makeup brush. Just pointing that out.
He's a legend.
He is a legend, but you know, then he issues he issues an open challenge to another legend.
A first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yes, a man who has been in the ring with legends. So, who could EC3 be challenging? I wonder. Anyway, we cut elsewhere backstage after the break, where we see Dixie in her office, and she confirms that, you know, basically via AJ Styles' agent, he sent her an email saying that the TNA title, or a box supposedly containing the TNA title, is on its way back to her as we speak. It has a FedEx tracking number and everything. You know, Dixie's absolutely ecstatic because she's gotten her way. And she says, you know, she basically tells AJ, well, you know, Pumpkin, I'm just sorry the lawyers had to get involved. But he wasn't listening. So she had to make him listen.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, now that AJ's cooperated and, you know, he's made her holiday happen a lot sooner. So, ho, 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 she'll see him in Orlando at Impact.
Yeah, that was from earlier this week on Impact 365.
And I like that they're integrating the 365
into the show. Yeah, it's really good. I like it.
It's a nice touch. It helps make it feel more important.
It does.
After this, we cut back to the ring where, well, Ethan Carter III is coming out for his match. He cuts a promo that he's going to be facing a man that's been in the ring with Andre the Giant. Hulk Hogan, brother.
Bret Hart.
And we all start sitting here going, huh, who could this legend be? And then Ethan Carter III turns and points to one Earl Hebner.
You know, he's just a referee. He's not a wrestler.
Exactly, and that's what Hebner tells Ethan Carter. He's a referee. He's wearing a referee shirt that represents exactly what who he is with the company. And basically, Carter tells Hebner that Hebner works for Carter, and so they're going to have a match. And well, he's already found an official to replace it. You know, and well, who's the official? Brian Hebner, Earl Hebner's son.
Mm-hmm. Rockstar Spud brought him out, and
yeah. The Hebners were less than thrilled. They wanted no part of it, but between Rockstar Spud and EC3, they basically bully Earl Hebner into laying down for Carter. Carter then pins Hebner with one finger as Brian is forced to count. And so you have EC3 defeat Earl Hebner.
It was the most grueling victory in Ethan Carter III's career, that matchup with Earl Hebner, where he could only muster enough energy to stick one finger on top of the lifeless body of Earl Hebner.
It was. He was exhausted.
It wore him out.
You know, he needed to go get a thorough massage probably afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this was actually an interesting segment.
It was fun. It went a little long, but it was fun.
It went a little long, but it kind of sold me on Carter as a heel.
Oh, Ethan Carter III is winning me over as a heel. He's doing good.
Yeah, he's starting to grow on me a little. I won't lie. So you know, the boys that told me, "Oh, he'll grow on you." Yeah, you're right. He's starting to grow on me a little bit as a heel. He's doing pretty good. I won't lie. But after this, we cut to the 360 service once again, and we see take two.
Action.
You know, we see Bad Influence backstage, and they're plotting. They have a manila envelope. They've been filming. What are they up to? And what does it have to do with Joseph Park?
I think we're going to get to the bottom of this whole situation.
Maybe. But after this, well, we see Christy Hemme. She's on a date with whatever that guy's name is.
Samuel Shaw.
Thank you.
Samuel.
His name.
Samuel, not Sam. Samuel.
Samuel. Yes. Samuel. Thank you. Basically, Christy excuses herself to go to the ladies' room, and well, as he's waiting, he signs for the check. And he picks up a knife and he starts to squeeze the knife with his hand, which is a little creepy. And then the waiter comes over to pick up the check, And, well, Shaw grabs the waiter and basically threatens him for looking at Christy, telling the waiter that if he ever looks at his girl like that again, then he'll pluck his eyeballs out.
Yeah. His girl.
His girl.
His girl.
So, we've got a creepy, crazy stalker dude.
Mm-hmm. We'll see where that goes.
We'll totally see where that goes. You can't see the face right now I'm making, but it's...
I can imagine it in my brainsicles.
Your brainsicles?
My brainsicles, yes. Create a new word, hashtag brainsicles. Use it. Where's JoJo? Hashtag. Anyway.
Yep. Anyway, moving on from this, we get a nice, you know, promo about AJ Styles winning the title. We then see Dixie Carter backstage. You know, she's all excited. She thinks something's coming. You know, she thinks it's the title. And, well, somebody brings her instead flowers from a quote-unquote fan.
She wasn't happy about that.
She
wants a package. She wants to get the package. She can't wait to get her package.
Exactly. She wants her title belt back. She was extremely furious. She sends the person away with the, you know, with the flowers and calls Rockstar Spud. We also have Bobby elsewhere backstage having a mad about not being in the finals.
He should be in it. This is a wrestling tournament. He should be in it. He should be in it.
Right. He should be totally in it, but, well, nope. No, he's not. After this, we see Sting arriving. What could Sting want?
All right. Can I talk about this?
Yes.
All right. So, Sting arrived at the building at 9:55 p.m. Eastern. Today said we haven't seen Sting in over a month, so what is he? What does he have to say? What is he doing here? Now, let me repeat this. 9:55 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. When I say 9:55 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, that means it's dark out. But in sunshine, Florida, it was sunny out.
Don't you know the sun always shines in Florida?
Apparently. 24/7. So, you know. That's why Omega doesn't sleep. Sun's always out.
There you go. That works.
That works. So, there you go. They could have filmed it differently where you don't see the sun.
Just pointing that
out. Little things.
After the break, we cut back to Dixie backstage. She's got a line of guys. I don't know if it's the entire locker room. It's at least the locker room, you know, that was there.
I saw Norv. Norv was there. Probably Dewey was there, too.
I saw Storm.
Saw Storm.
At least the back of Storm's head. I saw Chavo.
I saw Norv and him.
Yay, Norv and Dewey!
Basically, she has a big... surprise for her, because she has another big idea. One of her great ideas. One of her Dixieland creations.
Wheel of Dixie was innovative. We thought the Wheel of Dixie was awesome. Well, she pulls away a piece of cloth, tarp, whatever you want to call it, to reveal 4 briefcases. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. If you've been watching TNA for a while, then you know this game. Feast or Fired is back.
It's back, everyone. Which means one person gets a world title shot, one person gets a tag team title shot, another person gets an X Division title shot, and then finally the 4th briefcase, you're fired.
Yep. And, well, Chavo looked a little worried.
Chavo was not happy about this.
No, he wasn't. So, well, who will feast and who will be fired? We find out next week on Impact.
Well, at least see who gets the briefcases next week. So it'll be interesting to see what indeed happens.
Exactly. Then we have Bad Influence. They are on their way out to the ring to cause trouble, as always, because, well, they have an announcement of their own.
Yes, they do. And they, you know, they're coming out, they have this paperwork, they're ready to, you know, basically expose Joseph Park for who he truly is.
Oh, my.
And this brought out one Joseph Park.
Listen,
All playing aside, you guys need to stop. Okay? You guys. Thank you, guys. Thank you. But listen, guys. You guys have won. Okay? You guys have accomplished what you wanted to do. Okay? Maybe you're right. Maybe you guys were right the whole time. Maybe Joseph Park should have never have been in Impact Wrestling. And you know, maybe I am just what I always was, and that's an attorney.
An attorney. That's funny, because attorney. Because we have some information right here about that very subject. Whoa, brother. Whoa. That's the now what? Good job, fat guy. You just proved that you can rip apart a manila envelope. Well, listen, it doesn't matter. Look at me, fatty. It doesn't matter. Because what was in there, I gave to my friends back there. And if you look up there, you and everyone else will see the truth.
Impact 365, because let's be honest, bad influence, we're entertaining 365 days a year. Now, we're here in the Windy City, Chicago, where it's a little chilly-willy for my taste, but nonetheless, we flew ourselves here, first class, I might add. And here we are at the building, at the actual law offices of Park, Park, and Park.
Because Joseph Pancake Esquire has been missing in action ever since we drove him to tears at Turning Point. So we came to his natural habitat to find out two things. First of all, has he washed all that blood out of his hair?
Absolutely not.
And two, what sort of comfort food do you think he's been wallowing in ever since he was embarrassed?
Definitely pumpkin pie.
I've seen
what he does to pumpkin pies. It's disgusting.
Pumpkin pie. Let's pick some pumpkin pie up on the way home.
This is in a very nice-looking office.
Yeah.
It's kind of
cheap.
Very plain-looking.
Hey, guys.
Ah, hi, Eloise. How are you? Could you please point me to Suite 204?
Yeah, it's over there.
All right. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
But you guys can't
Back
just
to
go
Candy
in there.
Crush for you. We got this.
You can't.
Joseph Park, need some law advice. That's, I don't see any law degree on the wall. Hey, Joseph, your secretary's office is... Hey, man. Look at this.
Okay.
This is all empty.
Wait,
Bertha!
Melanie, what's going on?
Hey, Bertha!
I need to
what are you trying to pull? Get off the phone. Get off the phone for a second.
Never mind.
What's going on with this office? This looks abandoned.
Yeah, well, that was Dr. Krutzel's office, but he moved out like a month ago.
Dr. Krutzel? Wait just a second. Hold on.
Look, this business card, Park, Park, and Park, that's this address, right?
Okay, that's this address.
Right, but...
He's
so
not
where's
here.
Park, Park, and Park? What's going on?
Okay, if you guys just be patient, I will look it up, okay?
Hold on.
Look it up.
All right.
I think he opened like a candy store instead. Like,
I don't know. He wasn't a very good lawyer. He definitely wasn't a good wrestler. So let's see what happens.
Come on, hurry up.
Okay. So I found it. That they were Parks, Parks, and Parks was here, but it was like 13 years ago.
All right, hold on. Get out of
here.
Wait, stop.
Wait, dude. It closed 13 years ago?
Closed.
That's what it says. It's closed. There's not even a forwarding address. They just closed.
Thanks.
Thanks for all the help.
Sorry.
Back to my...
Great.
So, Joseph, after Francois and myself did a little more investigating, we found out, yes, Park, Park, and Park closed 13 years ago. So the real question is, what you been doing for 13 years, buddy? Have you been doing pro bono work with the homeless? I mean, whatever you're doing, it wasn't dieting or working out. So what have you been doing? Huh? Give these people the answers that they deserve. What have you been doing?
Guys, I'm going to ask you, as human beings, please, leave me alone.
Please, leave me alone.
No, no, no. Listen to me. We're not going to leave you alone. You listen to me. You know, we've called you a lot of things. We've called you a tub of goo. We've called you a giant pile of stink. We've called you a melted candle in a tracksuit. But now...
Oh, you've gone too fast, Kazarian.
I guess we can also call you a liar.
I got to tell you, I mean, listen, I've been real hard on Joey Park myself, but something's going on here, and they were just in, they just showed the video when you're at the law offices in Chicago. The guy said, leave me alone. There's something not right here, but...
Wait a minute. Joseph Parks, tag team partner, Eric Young, fortunately out to stop this beating from Bad Influence. Daniels and Kazarian never happier with themselves.
I got to go back to this. So what? Why would Joseph Watt lie? Why would he not be upfront about this whole attorney thing?
All right, look, this has gone on long enough, week after week, two on one. I'm tired of the bullying. I know they're tired of it. A word of advice. You keep knocking on the devil's door, eventually the devil's going to answer. Okay? So what we're going to do, if it's okay with these guys, it's going to be Bad Influence versus Joseph Park and Eric Young tag match on Impact next week. Let's get crazy.
Not exactly sure that Joseph Park is in on this. Just wants to be left alone. Check out his body language.
So that was an interesting segment.
So Joseph Park isn't who we think he is.
Huh. Hmm. Interesting.
Apparently, so more to come. So there is no Park.
It closed 13 years ago. So what has he been doing for 13 years?
That's the question, isn't it?
It is the question. All right, I need to point this out because I mentioned it on the Twitters at Wild Talk Radio. They use the name Dr. Kruskal. That's the name of Christopher Daniels and Kazarian's PR person, Mark Kruskal. And he got enjoyment out of the fact that he got mentioned again on Impact.
Congratulations, Mark.
He was very excited about that one. We were exchanging messages on Twitter. He was excited about that one. So yeah, there you go.
So go Mark. But yeah, I'd like to elaborate on this because it's like this was something that I've been kind of waiting for them to actually go to the law offices of Park. Mm-hmm. And so this is something of, oh great, they're going to go to the law offices. We're finally going to get to see them. And you know, to see the fact that it's abandoned, that it's not real, that it's all in Joseph Park's head, makes you kind of begin to wonder what happened, you know, including, well, did Joseph Park go crazy?
Mm-hmm. And that could, you know, sort of be why he has a monster side of him.
Exactly. Could Abyss, his brother, in quotations, Abyss, just be something he created? Because originally we thought that, you know, there's Chris Park, who Abyss has been identified as in the past.
Right.
A long time ago. And then there's Abyss, obviously. And Chris and Abyss are somewhat the same, but then there's Joseph. So it's like, could Abyss and Joseph Park just be personalities of Chris Park?
Might be.
Or is it that Abyss is a personality? Abyss and Chris are just a personality of Joseph. This is getting interesting, y'all.
they're making some interesting twists, and there's a lot more to come.
Absolutely, there's a lot more to come. But on the upside, next week on Impact, we get Bad Influence versus EY and Joseph Park.
That should be interesting.
That should be interesting. after this, we see, you know, backstage, Sting talking to Magnus. They're kind of sort of exchanging shots and pleasantries at the same time. And basically, you know, Sting wishes Magnus luck and tells him to tear it up.
There you go.
Elsewhere backstage, we see Rockstar Spud. He, you know, he gets very excited that the package has arrived, which I don't know any delivery service that delivers at 10 a.m. at night, but well done.
P.M.
I'm sorry, P.M. 10 p.m. at night, but well done. After this, we get the Mutual TV segment of the evening. I'm going to kill that horn. You have Zima, Ion introduce the Bromans, and the Bromans come out to defend their tag team championship against One Storm and Gunner.
Yeah, it was a match. It was a match that saw Bromans win via disqualification.
Oh, God, you clipped it. Why did you clip it?
I didn't clip that. I found the sound effect for the horn because it's...
Kill it. Kill it with fire. Yeah, he was hitting that thing all through the match to distract. You have a new toy. I dare you to do that all through WTR. I dare you.
We'll see. We have a new toy. It's the horn from Zimayan.
You're going to get punted in the face about 5 seconds.
I know.
Just pointing that out. Anyway, Gunner just randomly started attacking one of the Bromans. I think somebody pushed him or something, and then he had randomly attacked the referee, and that's what cost them the match. Storm was less than thrilled.
Yeah, beer got in his face. He lost control. Yeah, Storm tried to calm him down, but was quite upset. So there's issues going on between the two of them.
Yes. So, well, we'll have to see where this goes from here, but either way, Bromans are still your tag team champions, and they still have that damn horn. After this, we get what, at least in my opinion, is the sarcastic segment of the night. We have Sting approach Kurt Angle's door to talk to Angle, and, well, Rockstar Spud stops him and doesn't know who he is.
Yeah, this was a funny segment. Sadly, we don't have audio for it. It was a great segment.
Let's just say sarcastic Sting is amazing.
He did his very own Dixie Carter impression, which was fantastic.
And it was sassy and sarcastic, and I didn't... Either Rockstar Spud is a very small man, or Sting is a lot taller than
Spud,
I thought he is.
Spud's small.
Clearly, because Sting towered over Spud.
And Sting's not a tall man, but yeah, he's a small man. Yeah, basically, you know, Rockstar Spud had no idea who he is, and yeah, wanted him gone, and well, all he wanted to do was talk to Kurt.
But, you know, the chief of staff, who's basically the head of the assistants, told him no.
Nope.
And sent him away, and Sting just was very sarcastic and, you know, did a Dixie Carter impression, and then was like, what the hell is going on?
And then he got buzzed in his ear that the package, he could finally give his package to Dixie Carter.
Yep. Yo, Spud got very excited and he ran off before he told Sting, you know, you need to leave. Like, now.
Spud got excited to give the package to Dixie.
And you can take that any way you want.
Yeah.
Yeah. We move to back to the 360 service where we see Robert Irvine and Gail Kim schmoozing. They then talk about the open challenge where Robert Irvine cuts a promo better than half of the wrestlers I've seen lately about how Gail Kim doesn't have any challengers and how it's pointless to, you know, even have her fighting at this point until you can bring a proper challenger for her.
Right. Nothing much more to add to that one, but you missed one segment.
I missed one segment?
You missed Chris Sabin.
No, Sabin was after the break.
Okay. The Gail Kim was after the Sabin, but okay.
No, it's not the way I wrote it down. I wrote it down that Gail was first, and then it was Sabin.
All right, continue. Sorry. My bad.
So we go by my notes.
I were going by your notes, which I don't have. So anyway, continue.
Backstage, we have basically Chris Sabin, you know, hyping his match and, you know, talking to who we think he's talking to, Velvet, who's printing behind him.
Yeah, Velvet's guy's getting herself all dolled up behind him, and Sabin's talking about, you give me hope after I hit rock bottom. And then he wants to, you know, vowing to defeat Austin Aries next week when he defends the X Division title. And he, you know, he looks really good. He's asking, you know, how do we look? How do we look? And he puts the belt on his shoulder. How do we look? How do we look? And Velvet was like, we look good. We look good.
Yeah.
We look really good.
this is kind of an awkward segment because it's like Sabin's like, you know, basically, is he talking to Velvet or is he talking to
Sabin? This or he's talking to himself and the belt and yeah. Sabin's good in this role. I like it. He's doing a good job. I like heel Sabin.
Yeah, I like heel Sabin. He's kind of awesome. And meanwhile, Velvet is completely, totally out of it.
Oblivious to the whole situation.
Yeah, pretty much. After this, we have Gail Kim come out. She faces Laura Dennis, who is indie wrestler Cherry Bomb. In another open challenge match, Gail Kim wins. No surprise. It was a pretty competitive match, though.
Competitive match. She works for CZW, I believe. So there's your indie note of the night. Presented by Florida. match is fine. Gail Kim wins with Eat the Feet. Following this, Lady Tapa and Gail were getting a little bit more extra on one Laura Dennis until ODB made the save, clearing the ring of Lady Tapa and Gail Kim.
Yep. So, it was a solid segment, good segment. We got to see ODB, which is always fun.
Which is always fun and enjoyable. So it begs the question, is there someone upcoming soon that can actually dethrone Gail Kim?
We'll have to see. Will it come before Final Resolution? I wonder.
We'll see.
We'll see. Or not Final Resolution, Genesis. What is their next pay-per-view?
I think it's Final Resolution. Genesis is January. Final Resolution is December.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure. Whatever their next pay-per-view
I'm going to look this up as you continue.
Yes. Whatever their next event is, you know, we'll see. Hopefully they can find a contender before then, but you never know. Anyway, after the women have their moment, We see Dixie backstage, and she gets the news that the belt is on site. She's so excited. She can't wait. And, you know, we cut to the ring. And it's Magnus taking on Kurt Angle in a last man standing match. And this was easily match of the night.
Easily. It's Final Resolution December 19th on Spike TV for free. Bringing a free pay-per-view to you on Spike TV. Match of the night. Clearly, Kurt Angle, Magnus, really, really good match. Before we saw the package, it's like, what's in the package? What's in it? And then, yeah, no. So we're going to have to wait to find out what's in the package.
So as the match is going on, you know, solid match, really good match of the night. We see Magnus defeat Kurt Angle after Bobby Roode interfered and laid Angle out.
That dastardly Bobby Roode.
So we have Magnus and Jeff Hardy moving on to the finals next week. Then Roode comes in after the match and he attacks Kurt Angle with Hardy coming out to make the save.
Mm-hmm. And then we have Magnus and Hardy face to face as they'll square off 2 weeks at Final Resolution for the TNA World Heavyweight Championship. This was a good match. I like Bobby Roode interfering because if he can't be in it, Kurt Angle won't be in it either. So that's where that one went.
So we will see that feud continue through Final Resolution.
Mm-hmm. Then we went backstage, Lindsay.
We did. We have Dixie with the package. It has, in fact, arrived. And while she's so excited, she has Spud cut it open, and then she proceeds to unbox the title, as it were.
And inside it was a toy belt.
Yes, not the real belt. Nope. Dixie gets a belt that she can put on her paper champion, or so said AJ Styles when he came on the screen, thanks to an ad paid for by the friends of AJ Styles.
Yeah.
So, well, AJ sent her technically the World Heavyweight Championship.
It looked like the Knockout Tag Title.
It looked like the Knockout Tag Title. It was obviously a toy version of the title, but still a smart move nonetheless by one AJ Styles.
Yeah. So AJ Styles, you know, says, you know, if you want the belt, gotta come to the trailer park to get it.
So yeah, so Dixie, the challenge has been issued. Dixie's gotta go to Gainesville to get the title, and well, AJ issues a warning. Basically, because, well, Dixie isn't like too much around those parts.
No. So I have a feeling we're going to see some Impact 365 spots with Dixie trying to find the trailer park of AJ Styles.
This could get interesting, y'all. Really interesting.
It really, really could. So that was a fun Impact.
It was a fun Impact. It was really segment heavy, which was my one complaint about it. But other than that, it was good. The match, you know, obviously the main event was fantastic. You can't go wrong with that. It's great to see Magnus going on to the finals, so we'll have to see if he can overtake Jeff Hardy next week.
2 weeks.
Two weeks.
They fight a final resolution. Next week's going to be match heavy, I would assume.
I hope so. I really would like to see a little bit more wrestling on the show, just because this is a lot to recap when they have segments. But the Joseph Park segment was really good.
There's some interesting twists coming up from what we've been hearing, so it's going to get interesting in TNA land, or in
Dixieland. Yes, get it right. It's not TNA land, it's Dixieland.
It's Dixieland, yes.
So on that note, we are going to depart Dixieland and go to break, because when we come back, we're going to be doing, of course, Tweet of the Week. We're going to be having some discussions, you know, namely what it's going to take to possibly make a new star after WrestleMania. And, of course, Slammy Pick'em.
Slammy Pick'em. So, we got a lot to go here on the rack. It's a throwback Thursday.
Right, so we'll be right back on WildTalkRadio.com. I wish I'd stayed. Popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW, it's pimping.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To a shocking moment... And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA Wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA Wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
This is the Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I'm Santi Morella.
I'm going to prove to you and everyone else that I am the greatest intercontinental champion, eh? Of all the time!
You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com with one of my favorite 80s songs, 8675309. Awesome! And now we're going to go into one of our most favorite segments, which is, of course, Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more, it cannot wait, I'm sure.
I can't imagine how many you have piled up over the last 2 weeks.
I just looked. Oh, good lord. There we go. You probably have some of them, so it might take away from some of the ones I have.
I have three.
2 weeks you had three.
I've been busy.
I know, you've been swamped. I know.
Anyway, AJ Lee, I haven't put on makeup or combed my hair in 2 days. I've never felt freer or looked more like an escapee from a maximum security prison.
Had it.
Corey Graves, Eric Rowan looks like he would eat your children and then take out your trash. And in all honesty, he probably would. Corey Graves again, ladies, while yoga pants may help you fool us men about the shape, we can still tell when you're wearing boxers underneath them.
There you go. Alright, so this is where I have to go?
Yes, this is where you have to go.
Alright, so Big E replied to that one about it from AJ. He goes, you should let fans pay to apply makeup and comb your hair. Hashtag make that paper. Caitlin responded, hashtag make that paper is my thing. AJ replied to Big E, I feel like what you're trying to say is that you missed the duties that came with being my bodyguard. He replied, hush, child, it's mine now, just like those wet wipes you tossed last week. That was to Caitlin. And Big E replied to AJ, ma'am, I never stoop to such lows. So there you go for that one. Let's clear those out. There's a lot. There we go.
This is going to take a while, y'all.
It's going to take a while. Someone goes, so if AJ is Big E Langston's mom and Heel Ziggler is his dad, does that make Caitlyn the cool hipster aunt? She replies, sorta? there was a whole thing about George. Caitlyn had to hashtag George. Caitlyn replied, AJ replied, George is my thing. AJ replied, saying that my thing is my thing. I've been wearing George since 1992, said Caitlin. AJ replied, you know damn well we've both been wearing denim overalls in we were both wearing denim overalls in 92. But not Bill Walton. Grizzlies have clawed back into this game like Shawn Michaels returning to the ring after five years due to painful neck injury. That was a back injury, but which he was later corrected. Zeb Coulter, breaking news, opening soon by popular demand, Zepster's Twerking Academy. Join now, avoid the rush, special Christmas rates.
Oh, God.
Lance Storm, I wonder if Heel Ziggler is feeling nostalgic for the golf clubs in this match. You know, because he was a caddy. Someone was tweeting the Rock, and basically the Rock replied, you know the wrestler's rules, punch, kick, and suplex me anywhere, but the teeth are off limits. That is a wrestler's rule.
Mm-hmm.
Caitlin was asking for hashtag ideas. Big E replied, oh, I've got tons, but they'll all keep me from remaining gainfully employed. So there you go for that one. Big E goes, hashtag I have a dream at Caitlin WWE to shoot videos with women of all races, creeds, and color. Oh, Big E's such a player. Dave Meltzer tweets, how much are they paying the Jim Cornette to get him to fly to England? Jim Ross replied, trip sponsored by Xanax with doctor supervision. Christopher Daniels, I hope Curry Mann stays in TNA for a while. He still owes me money from his last tour of the States. Still haven't seen him backstage. Also, as far as I know, folks, Curry Man is not on Twitter. I was under the impression he didn't even have a smartphone at this point. Before tonight, Curry Man was working at a Kinko's. If he stays, maybe he'll join Twitter. Ask at TNA Dixie to keep him around this time. Christopher Daniels, was I hallucinating or did Lady Gaga dress like a bottle of Coke for a duet with RuPaul on her show with the Muppets? Why, Kermit, why? Dolph Ziggler, I only wear the hottest clothes from famous designers, eventually, at Marshalls. Someone tweeted Jim Ross this question, so SmackDown isn't live anymore? Jim Ross replied, hasn't been for years. Heel Ziggler, codes? Where we're going, we don't need codes. Game Genie creator, prom night. Into tear-filled pillow. It's Cyber Monday, so I'm using futuristic curse word sluck all day. Also, all hail our robotic flying overlords at Amazon. If you haven't seen those drones, by God, they're creating drones. It's kind of scary.
And which you will pay out your backside for.
Though they'll never actually work. Because, well, they won't let them fly. Zack Ryder tweets, tough loss for at heel Ziggler. Maybe you should have worn my shirt again. Ouch. Bailey tweets, Battle of the Beards, hashtag Raw, hashtag we. Haha, I tweeted we. Hashtag we, hashtag WWE, hashtag Raw. She tweeted we. Well done. ProWrestling.net, Sin Cara celebrated his long overdue growth spurt with a big shoulder tattoo. Hashtag puberty. Ziggler, can't wait for Slammies. Raw Monday. The power is in your hands on the WWE app. I mean, I'm totally due to win one, right? CM Punk, this poop just ain't fun anymore. Because apparently he pooped himself. And this allowed Colt Cabana to type the word shit about 50 times.
Pretty much, yeah.
Biggie Langston, I don't even know if it's a category, but I've already written my acceptance speech for best dressed. There used to be, back in like the 90s.
Yeah, there was.
There really, really was.
It was amazing. There was a category for best tattoo, too.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I got it. When we get to the Slammies, I have a clip to play. And one final tweet. 2012 Slammy Awards closed out with my debut, hard atop. Maybe dropping Caitlyn from a more impressive distance? She's resilient. That's tweet of the week. So where do we want to start first? Do we want to start with the Slammies?
Let's go ahead and go into the Slammies.
All right. There's a bunch of categories that Lindsay hopefully will be listing for you here in a second as I'm searching for a clip.
Okay, well, the categories have been announced, and we have, and as well as some other presenters, too. I'd just like to point that out. So, presenting Superstar of the Year will be Shawn Michaels.
Woo-hoo.
Presenting Diva of the Year will be Eve. Presenting Double Cross of the Year.
Make sure, Eve Torres, not Eva Marie, Eve Torres.
Yes, Eve Torres. Let me get that right. It's Eve Torres, not Eva Marie. But presenting the Double Cross of the Year is The Shield.
Ooh.
This is going to be epic. I cannot wait for them to get out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have Match of the Year, Insult of the Year, LOL Moment of the Year, This is Awesome Moment of the Year, Extreme Moment of the Year, Trending Now, Hashtag Moment of the Year, Beard of the Year, Fan Participation of the Year, and Breakout Star of the Year. And sadly for those last groupings of categories, we don't have an announcement for who the nominees are, but we do have the nominees for Double Cross of the Year, for Diva of the Year, and Superstar of the Year. Did you find your clip?
No, I haven't found my clip, so I'm going to continue to look for it as we... Yeah, here we go. Take a listen to this and Lindsay's going to,
you
know,
good evening, everybody. How y'all doing?
Have something to say. This part doesn't need to be heard. So the basic setup, this is the setup for the Slammies in 1996.
Is this the year that Taker won and the guy peed himself?
No. Just I can't even say anything, but this does involve The Undertaker.
Oh, God.
With the best buns.
Best buns. Yep,
best buns. Some buns. Let's go to the nominees.
All right, here we go.
Ooh, it's gonna be a no bad.
We're talking perfect. Nice ass.
You like that, didn't you?
Oh, Taker. Moments he would rather forget.
He looks right into the camera and says, nice ass.
Are you surprised?
No, but I saw that clip on Facebook the other day, and I was like, I gotta make sure to play that on the show. Alright, so let's start from the bottom and work our way up and with, like, superstar and match and that sort of thing.
Okay. So, breakout star of the year. There are no announcements of this. However, I would like to point out that The Shield won Rookie of the Year through WWE poll. And so we could see The Shield added to this list. I would be curious to see if the Wyatts are added. Big E Langston is another possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Could Daniel Bryan make this list?
He could. He could be. I don't think so, but...
It's just, it's kind of interesting. So, breakout star of the year. There's a couple.
All right. Mine is someone that you didn't even name. Damien Sandow for winning Money in the Bank.
Yeah, I could see that. Damien, that was his breakout moment, I think, but I don't think he's really done a lot with it since. They haven't done a lot with it since. You know, another person that we forgot to name is Cody Rhodes.
This is true, but hey, this isn't... Let's knock my picks segment. God.
I'm just pointing that out.
He's going to kill every theory I have, so we're going to get into this one in the first. Let's go. Who'd you pick?
If I had to give it to someone as far as a breakout star...
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to give it to The Shield. Their breakout out moment was literally their debut, and they never looked back.
Yeah, but their debut happened 2012. Just pointing that one out. I don't know how they were rookies when they debuted in 2012, but okay. Even though they were in there for a year, I get it. Anyway.
Well, who would you give it to?
I said Damien Sandow's breakout star. You're not even listening. You disproved my thought, and you just totally ignored it.
Well, he's going to give you the chance to make another pick.
No, I'm sticking with Damien Sandow until they actually list the nominees, and then I reserve the right to change it.
Fair enough.
All right, because he's begging for it, like he begs for Christian, here it is. See, if you ask for something, you're going to get a shot with it. Just pointing out.
Anyway, moving on. Fan participation of the year.
I couldn't really think of much, so I'm going with the really loud yes chance.
I'm going with the night after Mania.
Okay.
That the works. Raw after Mania with the Fandangoing. That's what I'm going with.
Ah, I should have went with Fandangoing. I should have went with it. I'll stick with Yes Chance. Because that's the pick I made. Fandangoing's pretty good. Fuck it. I'm changing to Fandangoing. I'm changing to Fandangoing.
He's changing to Fandangoing. Okay. Also, afterwards, I should mention, we should be saying, you know, is this going to be an online award, or is this going to be an on-the-show award?
I believe some of these are on online awards. There's like six of them on TV, and the rest are online.
I think the fan participation is an online, but I don't know about Breakout Star. I think Breakout Star might be online as well.
It might be. And King Kent, I can make as many changes as I want. Just point that one out.
He is one of the hosts. He can.
Yeah, one of the hosts. Like how she's taking over ruling of me now.
Well, you know, as we like to point out to everybody, it is my show.
It is your show, and I'm just the producer. I got it. Daily. Anyway,
moving on. Beard of the year.
Brian?
You don't think Sandow or the Wyatts?
Brian. I'm going Brian.
I'm going Eric Rowan, even though I know it's not going to happen, just because I want to see if there's an acceptance speech. I want to see Eric Rowan standing there completely befuddled, not knowing what the hell to do.
So you liked my idea, didn't you?
Oh, I love that idea of Eric Rowan winning a Slammy, and he walks out, and he's like, he just stands there, and he looks around, and he doesn't know what to do. Like, he keeps just, like, looking at Bray, like, what do I do,
yeah.
And Bray just finally walks up, grabs a Slammy, walks off. Come on, Eric. Sadly, Beer of the Year will be an online award. There won't be an acceptance speech for it.
Unless they do something on the app or something.
Unless they do something on the app, which they could, which if we get acceptance speeches, that would be amazing.
Because last year they didn't have the app like they do now, so.
This is true, so we could actually see speeches, which would be awesome.
Next,
trending now / hashtag of the year.
HB Shizzle.
I don't know, this is hard.
HB Shizzle.
Yo.
HB Shizzle. Hate you. Anyway.
I don't know. Like, that's the thing. I don't have anything to say. I don't know.
Make a pick.
I think they got the Wyatt family trending once. We'll go with that. I don't know. I don't ever know what trends on Twitter. Because I don't really pay attention.
Alright, fine. She'll make a pick when the awards come out. The nominees.
Yeah, when they put the nominees out, I'll make a pick. But yeah, until then, I don't know. Like, seriously.
I'm going HB Shizzle. Even though it's probably not going to be anything involving that. But hey, that's what I'm going with at the moment.
All right, fair enough. Now we move on to extreme moment of the year.
No. It's extreme moment of the year.
Fine, whatever. Pick.
The Shield puts The Undertaker through a table at SmackDown. Yeah, I said it.
I'm trying to think of another one.
Was that the one you were picking?
Yeah.
Well, you can pick it. We can pick the same thing. You do realize this, right?
Oh, I realize it, but I'm trying to think of other extreme moments because I know there actually have been.
Oh, there have been. And, you know, there was Brock Lesnar bleeding like a pig when he was feuding with Hunter. When Brock returned, when they brawled.
Right.
There's been a few, but I'm going with The Shield puts out The Undertaker.
Yeah, I'll go with that one. I could see that happening. But we'll know more when the actual nominees...
Come out,
yeah.
If that's even nominated, but that's what I'm going with for the moment.
So, up next, the This Is Awesome moment.
This is awesome.
I'm just going to say it. The Wyatts and S.H.I.E.L.D. confrontation.
Okay. I can see that. I'm going Dolph Ziggler wins the World Heavyweight title. Bam.
I can see that too.
Bam. Alright. Next.
The LOL moment of the year.
Team Road Scholars mocks the New Age Outlaws. Oh, you didn't know. Your bleep better call somebody.
Yep. I'll go with that too.
I wanted to do the one where Sean was backstage with Hunter a few weeks ago. Where at least he hasn't had to grow up.
Right.
Sean was brilliant in that one. There's a bunch and they'll put them all up. But if Road Scholar's Mocking the Outlaws comes up, that should be good. I like that one.
Yeah.
Because we made we made a commercial out of it.
We did. And it's an amazing commercial.
It is. Oh, you didn't know. Check out rockradioshow.com.
We then have Insult of the Year.
AJ Lee's pipe bomb on the Divas.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one.
Like, I sat here trying to think of other insults, and it's like, there's insults, but this one was a pipe bomb insult, and yeah, that's what I'm going with. She had some nice lines in the pipe bomb.
She got a lot of praise for it, so I would be surprised if it's at least nominated.
Mm-hmm. Alright, so what's next?
So up next, we are now moving into, do you want to do double cross or do you want to do match?
Let's do double cross, and then, because the other three have nominations. Two of them have nominations.
Right. Double cross of the year, presented by The Shield. We have Triple H, Pedigree, and Daniel Bryan to allow Randy Orton to win the WWE Championship at SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
We have Shawn Michaels super kicking Daniel Bryan at Hell in a Cell. We have Mark Henry feigning retirement before attacking John Cena. And Paul Heyman betraying CM Punk at WWE Money in the Bank.
Paul Heyman turns on CM Punk at Money in the Bank. Because The Shield's giving it out, CM Punk's going to have to come out and accept it.
I can see that. Yeah. Or it's Michaels, because Michaels is there.
Yeah.
But I see more benefit in
seeing
Punk.
It. Yeah. So you're going with that one as well?
Yeah, I say it's down to either Heyman or Michaels.
Okay. It's either Heyman or Hunter.
Because I could see Hunter, too, because The Shield is presenting and they're part of the Authority.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But again, it's all up to you, the folks with the WWE app.
But yeah, since Punk is involved, I would bet Punk wins.
Mm-hmm. Next.
Next is Match of the Year.
Kane, Bryan, Orton versus The Shield from Monday Night Raw. Back in May or June. Can't remember what. But one of them.
That was a good one. I'll go with Bryan's SummerSlam match against Cena.
There you go. No love for Kane, Taker, and Bryan versus The Shield?
Oh, no, I have love for that match, and if that match is on there, I will vote for it, but I'm also trying to think of another one, and I can see Bryan going for the WWE Championship being one of them.
Oh, I can see that. I can totally see that. But I'm trying to go off the board, and that's what I want, so it'll probably be SummerSlam, probably.
Yeah.
It'll either be that or Punk and Brock from SummerSlam as well.
Yeah, it was a fantastic match,
that
too.
That one, too. I might, yeah, for now, I'm going with the six-man, but I might lean towards Punk and,
Punk and Taker might be on there as well.
Punk and Taker will probably be on. I'm leaning towards Punk and Lesnar as the second choice, because I doubt the six-man will be on there. But we'll see.
We'll see, yeah. Up next, Diva of the Year, presented by Eve Torres. You have AJ Lee, the Bella Twins, the Funkadactyls, Natalya, Caitlyn, and Eva Marie. Why Eva Marie is nominated, I don't know.
Where's JoJo?
Right? Where's JoJo? Like, the rest of the, it's like, the rest of the Total Divas cast got nominated. Where's JoJo?
Right.
Hashtag, where's JoJo? Like, seriously.
I'm going AJ. I think that's an easy one.
This is a fan vote. It's going to be AJ.
I could see the Bellas winning it, but I'm going with AJ.
Yeah, I say AJ. It's please God let AJ win. Please let AJ win.
And finally.
By the way, before we move on, I would just like to say that this actually was Total Diva of the Year, and it was only going to be the Total Divas, and then they expanded it out back to Diva of the Year. Where the hell is the award for the men of Total Divas? Jimmy Uso needs a damn slammy.
Yeah, yeah. If you don't watch Total Divas, you should listen to our reviews every Friday afternoon right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and you're gonna love the one we did, what we have for you tomorrow. It is fantastic. John Uso is a star in the making. They need a reality show. He's not for in-ring stuff, but for all of his talkings and his facial reactions. It's amazing.
Yeah.
John Uso, star of the show from this past Sunday, that you hear on the Rack Extra Total Divas tomorrow on Wild Talk Radio and RackRadioShow.com.
Ian Trinity, one of the reasons I watch that show.
Just saying.
And finally, we have Superstar of the Year being presented by one Shawn Michaels. Hey. And in this category, you have John Cena.
Boo.
Randy Orton.
Boo.
CM Punk.
Yay.
Daniel Bryan.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Big Show.
Eh?
Brock Lesnar.
Brock Lesnar.
This is tough.
Bryan.
Because you've got Cena, you've got Punk, and you've got Bryan.
Bryan. Hands down. Bryan.
You think?
CM Punk hasn't won much. Bryan. If you think about Punk's first 6 months, didn't win a thing. 7 months didn't win a thing. 8 months didn't win a thing. He only started to win in the last couple months. Bryan. Daniel Bryan. Easy. Hands down. Winner. Winner, chicken dinner. Vegan chicken dinner.
Tofu chicken. It makes sense to have Bryan win, especially since Michaels is presenting.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I can see Punk also winning.
Oh, I can see Punk winning.
Again, Michaels is presenting, and Punk is getting into it with the authority.
Mm-hmm.
So, and with Shawn being Hunter's BFF, well, but then again, this isn't about storyline, in quotations.
Never is on the Slammies.
Nope, never, ever. So, I'd be curious to see how this goes, because supposedly this is all fan vote, but we'll have to see if that's actually true.
Oh, according to Hunter, it is. So there you go. So who's your pick? I'm going Bryan. Who are you picking?
I'm going Punk.
Okay.
Because this is, again, it's a fan vote. It's a popularity contest. And I think the IWC may have their way on this. Of course, we could be both wrong. And Cena ends up taking it, too.
Please, WWE Universe, don't make it John Cena.
Please don't. Not again.
Please, I'm begging you. Don't. So there you go, there's our Slammy picks. We'll be totally wrong, but we'll review them next week here on the Rack. We should remind everyone, we will not be live next Thursday. We'll be live next Wednesday at 11 p.m. Eastern.
Yes, because, well, I have family coming into town.
So, put it in your schedules. We'll be live next Wednesday at 11 p.m. Eastern, not Thursday.
And tune in for our review of the Slammies on the Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m., right here on WildTalkRadio.com, Monday nights, right after Raw.
There you go. She's learning, folks.
I'm learning. You know, it's only taken me 2 years to learn how to chill.
You've been chilling since, like, day 5.
Yeah, this is true. So, speaking of Superstar of the Year, you have a rather ingenious idea.
She just called me a genius. I'm going to clip that.
I said ingenious.
No, I heard genius. I heard genius. She called me
then a you need to turn up your hearing aid.
I don't wear a hearing aid. Anyway, she called me a genius, folks. It's amazing.
Said ingenious, y'all.
She said genius.
Genius is part of the word, but I did not call you one.
I just now had you say the word genius, so there you go. I totally win right there.
Anyway, you had the idea on how to create the next big superstar.
I did have an idea. All right. So this is all going under the assumption that John Cena wins the WWE Champion as the Unified WWE Champion heading into TLC. Now, this basically came off an idea from Jim Ross. Basically said the biggest matchup you can possibly book with relevant people is John Cena versus The Undertaker, title versus streak at WrestleMania. So we're going to put that premise out there, okay?
Okay.
Hey, King Kittens, what does the fox say? Shut up. All right. So now, so you have John Cena versus The Undertaker at WrestleMania, which means you would assume it's title versus streak, which would mean that, well, The Undertaker becomes WWE Champion. Now many go, Undertaker shouldn't be champion. He's too old. He doesn't work a big enough schedule to be WWE Champion. Well, hear me out. You want to do something very special with this belt and use Taker to his fullest because, you know, he doesn't work a lot. You don't do the normal thing when someone loses their title. You don't do the typical standard, here's my rematch, and I'm going to put the belt back on you. You do not put the belt back on John Cena when he loses it to The Undertaker. What you do, because The Undertaker is the biggest star they have right now because he doesn't wrestle often, so wins and losses for him are a big deal. What you do, if you really want to get your money's worth, is you put the belt on someone new, someone fresh, someone who has never held the WWE Championship before. This is where you take Daniel Bryan out of the picture. Many will clamor for Daniel Bryan. No, he's already been established. He had 4 months, he was established. Now, You think about it, you have someone new beat The Undertaker for the championship. That gives instant credibility. Think about it. Instant credibility. As you can now claim that your first ever WWE championship win was by beating The Undertaker. Now, by doing this, the person who beats The Undertaker for a title would be a heel, because that would be the heel thing to do. And it would elevate them to the top of the rankings as a heel. So you look at the roster and you go, who do you put it on? Well, I'm glad you asked that question, Lindsay.
Do you put it on Rock?
Thank you, because I'm reading a thing that says, who do you put it on? If you were to come into the match week, you would need someone to weaken The Undertaker. Well, how about Roman Reigns, for example? I know the idea is to make him a babyface, but you keep him as a heel, keep him as a strong heel. You keep him with the Shield, and you have the Shield beat him down the next night on Monday Night Raw. And since they assume this is a big show, after WrestleMania, it's like a pay-per-view to them. You have the Shield beat him down on Raw, and then have Roman challenge The Undertaker to a title match that night on Raw. And you know The Undertaker never really turns down a challenge.
Right.
There's only a few certain exceptions when he does it. But for this scenario, he doesn't turn it down because he's man enough to fight despite being attacked. So he comes in weak to the match.
Especially, I should point out, since he's got an axe to grind against Reigns and the Shield.
He does. There is backstory to that. Now, you make Roman Reigns your new WWE champion 24 hours after The Undertaker wins the belt. Think about that one. Think about it. What better way to get this big monumental moment and make a star by having them beat The Undertaker in the main event of Monday Night Raw, where more than 4 to 5 million people will see it? And since they're launching a network, you take that whole aspect of, here's pay-per-view, because it's no longer pay-per-view, it's network pay-per-view. So you can put a big match on there, and then you can do a rematch with the two at Extreme Rules on the pay-per-view. But think about it. You use The Undertaker to make a new star. Because how many times has the Undertaker wrestled on TV in the last few years? Twice?
Twice.
When was the last time he wrestled singles on Raw?
Probably 2010.
Since by that time, it'll be 4 years. Undertaker wrestling on Raw would be a huge deal. It would be a super main event for that show. It would get people tuned in. Undertaker defends the title for the very first time on Monday Night Raw. Roman Reigns wins the belt. He has instant credibility. Now, to continue the credibility, you have him continue to win and beat certain people. To continue it, you don't do a one-month title reign for him. You let him establish it, because beating The Undertaker is a big deal. Undertaker doesn't lose. He hasn't taken a pinfall himself in a long, long time. He lost last year in a six-man, and that was a big deal. But he wasn't pinned. Have him be pinned in the middle of the ring on Monday Night Raw. Big star. Big star in the making. I don't know what you all think. That's just my idea. That's how I would make a new star. Because there's no one else in the business today that would make you a big star. Beating John Cena, not a big deal. Everyone beats John Cena. Undertaker doesn't lose. Having him lose, having him lose the WWE title, bam. You get a big angle, then you can do three things. With The Undertaker, you can do a match with John Cena, and you can just have his first title defense in general. It would be a huge deal. That's my thought.
I can definitely see that, and I definitely agree with a lot of that. I think, you know, whoever you decide to do that with, because you could do that with a lot of people. Mm-hmm. You could do that with Sandow. You could do that with Cody Rhodes. You could do that with, like I said, with a number of people. It's not just Reigns. Reigns is a very obvious choice because they're looking to split him off from the Shield, and that would then set up after he beats Taker at Extreme Rules. You know, because Taker's not going to stick around. And then John Cena comes in for his rematch after Taker.
And then you have, you can do CM Punk, you could do Daniel Bryan.
Right.
You have X number of babyface guys to do it. You make a new heel, you have all these babyfaces to challenge.
Now, here's the question I ask you.
Yes?
Now, do the Shield stay with Reigns after he wins the title?
Yes.
And at what point do the Shield break off?
I don't break them off. Unless the idea is to do a member of the Shield versus Roman Reigns at some point, and you do an evolution sort of turn where Dean and Seth turn on Roman down the line.
I can see that.
That sort of thing. But I wouldn't do that for another 6 months after that.
I could see that, because then but then what do you do for Seth? Because Seth needs a title. Or do you have Dean drop the U.S. belt at some point?
You would have Dean would eventually lose the U.S. title because he's held it for 200 days, apparently, according to Tumblr. So he'll lose it at some point.
Yeah. By the way, AJ's up to 173. Go, AJ.
I saw that on Tumblr. So, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I can see that, and that would definitely be a way to build Reigns into a strong character, and that would help establish him to have Dean and Seth there because, as we know, Roman isn't exactly a talker. Seth and Dean like to talk, especially Dean, so it's something of you almost have Seth and Dean sort of manage Roman a little bit and talk for him.
Right. Now you're making the Shield the top guys in the company. You make them the top heels.
And what would make them both good and bad is that would make them, one, a threat to the authority at that point, because they now have at least one, the main title in the company that's been unified, and possibly the U.S. title as well. But that makes them a threat to the authority, but that also makes them a threat to the face of the WWE, Randy Orton, provided that's still going on, but it also makes them an asset.
Mm-hmm.
Because that puts the title directly in the authority's control, seeing as they're paying the Shield.
Right.
So that, basically, the belt is on someone they can control, they don't have to worry about, and they know is going to follow orders.
Correct.
Up to a point.
Correct.
So it fits perfectly into what they're doing right now, so I can definitely see it happening.
Right.
Also, we get that nice tie-up of the Shield and Taker.
Mm-hmm. It all ties together. And the key in the whole angle, no matter who it is, They can never have held the WWE Championship before. Even the world title is, you know, never world champion, never WWE champion. Someone new. That's the key word.
Right. Now, just to sort of play devil's advocate a little bit and sticking with the Shield, do you see the same scenario working for someone like Dean Ambrose or Seth Rollins?
Rollins, no. Ambrose, yes.
And then you have Ambrose go on, because Ambrose is almost a little bit more of a loose cannon, so he would be harder to control.
He'd be harder to control, but he would work in that scenario as well. There's other people you can throw in there as well. But I'm not allowed to mention that because, well, that's too unrealistic.
I'm sorry. Chat room, back me up. Is it unrealistic for one of the Wyatts, particularly, you know, a Bray, to win the World Heavyweight Championship at, or I'm sorry, not the World Heavyweight Championship, the WWE title, off of The Undertaker the night after WrestleMania?
It could. It could totally happen. And if it happens, I want my paycheck.
Oh, if it happens, Bray's made. There's no question.
It would make anyone, if you really think about it, it would make anyone if you do this angle. And I'm hoping, I hope they do it.
I hope they do it, and it would be something really cool. Now, here's the other side of this. What happens if John Cena retains and The Undertaker loses at WrestleMania and John Cena takes the streak?
Oh, well, that's a whole nother... That was not even the scenario. Jesus, I don't know. Then people will crap on John Cena. Oh, wait, they do that already.
Yeah.
That would be spawn everything, and that's totally different. That angle doesn't work if John Cena wins.
Well, I'm not saying, you know, the angle works. I'm just saying as a different scenario to your angle, to your scenario.
I don't know. I don't know what you do. I would have to think about it. Maybe we'll talk about it. Maybe we'll talk about that on Wednesday.
Maybe we will talk about that on Wednesday.
Yeah, I got nothing. I don't have a storyline idea in my head for what happens if John Cena wins. Because I don't know where he'd go from there. John Cena retires, maybe?
I don't know. But, by the way, just to point it out, Kane Kittens backed me up in regards to Bray. He says we know he's a worker, but he's mostly been an out-of-the-ring guy on TV.
Yeah, this is 6 months away, dude. 6 months away.
But they're going to have to do some major building with Bray Wyatt in 6 months.
They got time.
Just pointing that he out. Could it beat, would be he, really cool.
He could beat Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania and then win the WWE title the next night.
He totally could.
Anyway, there you go.
Anyway, moving on. Speaking of a Wyatt, I say we go to our question of the night.
And what's our question of the night?
Do we think Daniel Bryan will join the Wyatts?
McElberg goes, I hope not, would be weird. Another couple of responses. One from somebody goes, yes, I do. He seems perfect to brainwash. Love Kane's role. And we have one from Maggie goes, he kind of has to for the Wyatts to look good. Their best strength is their psychology, and there's really the first time they've tried to get into someone's head and manipulate them. If he doesn't pant, doesn't join, at least in the short-term brainwash kind of thing, they're going to look ineffectual. So there you go. What do you think? Do you think Daniel Bryan's going to join the Wyatts?
I don't think Daniel Bryan is going to join the Wyatts proper, as in he's going to become a part of the family. But I can see Daniel Bryan aligning himself with the Wyatts, mainly because he would see the benefit of working with the Wyatts, of what they can offer. Because, let's face it, he wants the title. He wants the belt. That's what he's after.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he went it alone before, with no backup, no nothing before.
Right.
And he didn't succeed. He got beat down. He got humiliated. He got screwed. Now there's a group that can offer him backing. against the authority in Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family. Harper and Rowan are extremely effective.
Yes, they are.
They would be a good backup to have against the likes of the Shield, especially, you know, with Bray Wyatt directing traffic.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something of, I can see Brian, I can see Brian seeing the benefit of the Wyatt's help, but I don't see him trusting the Wyatts any further than he can throw any of them, which, let's face it, isn't far, because they're all huge.
They are kind of huge.
So I can see that scenario. As far as them kidnapping Brian and brainwashing Brian, I can see that. But if they were going to do that, they would have done it when the Wyatts actually kidnapped Daniel Bryan, unless Bryan is going to push Bray Wyatt to that point of, you've left me with no other choice. Because really, Monday night, Bray Wyatt sort of announced that. You know, that basically, you're too smart for the brainwashing.
Right.
It's not going to work on you. I know it's not going to work on you. I've got to go to my plan B, which is this. I'm going to make you the offer you can't refuse, pretty much.
Right.
And that is to join us.
So what happens if, say Daniel Bryan doesn't join? Right? Because I don't see him joining. But I see him pushing Bray Wyatt to his limits. And basically, what happens when Bray Wyatt is pushed to his limits? How maniacal and crazy does Bray Wyatt get when he doesn't get what he wants?
Well, if you've watched him in NXT, Bray Wyatt can get really maniacal and really twisted.
Right. Which is why I can see them pushing that this week.
Oh, I can see that. Now, the other big question of this is, will Brie Bella get involved in this at all?
Oh, 100%. 100% she needs to be. She needs to be. She needs to be involved. There's no way about it.
Yeah, I've agree with that completely. It's Bray Wyatt brought her up. We got the revelation. Bray Wyatt does, in fact, watch Total Divas. They've got cable at the house. So he likes to sit there in the rocker and, you know, catch up on Total Divas when they get home from the road.
Mm-hmm.
While Rowan pets Steve.
yeah.
Hashtag who's Steve.
Hashtag who's Steve. Trending worldwide now on Twitter. All right. So, before you continue, I'm going to throw this idea out there, all right?
Okay.
So remember, we kind of sort of were talking about this on one of these days or the weekend. I can't remember. We talk a lot. The idea of using Brie Bella and generate heat for this angle, and I kind of teased it on Monday, and here's basically what we said. They, in the PG era, you can't do much with females and female-male contact. But imagine this for a second. You have Bray Wyatt get a hold of Brie Bella. Have her, you know, have her wrestling in the ring. And then the Wyatts appear, they start, they get her, you know, they trap her in the ring. Imagine the reaction that would be. Imagine Bray Wyatt or Harper or Rowan grab her by the hair. She's, you know, getting set up for her sister Abigail. Imagine that heat. The bigger heat would be to hit the move. They'll never do it. But imagine the tease of it. And Daniel Bryan would make the save. Just torturing Brie Bella would draw so much heat to this angle. So much. If they were willing to push that button. They won't, but it would be amazing if they did.
Oh, I agree completely, 100%, that at the very minimum, the Wyatts cornering Brie Bella in the ring after she's wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Just cornering her, basically with Rowan and Harper and Bray, just surrounding her, would bring huge heat to them, because it's them going after her. I don't see them... If anybody's going to grab her by the hair, I could see it being Bray. Because honestly, I see Rowan being confronted with a girl and him not knowing what to do.
All right, we're not going down that road.
We're not going down that road. But I can see Bray grabbing her by her hair or just grabbing her by her arm and holding on to her by her arm, even. And that's, you know, they get a little rough with her, but they don't get extremely rough because, again, this is PG. I would have him maybe hold on to her in, like, where she's kind of bent back, almost like she's ready to go into the Sister Abigail, but not quite.
Mm-hmm.
With him standing fully up. So there's always the potential that he could easily take her into the Sister Abigail without him actually, you know, leaning over and putting her in the move.
Right, and he also kisses her on the head like he does every other victim.
Yeah, I would have him kiss her on the head, and she's screaming for help, and that's when Brian makes the save.
Just imagine that, ladies and gentlemen, the heat. The heat that would generate, it would be amazing. Won't happen, but it would be outstanding.
Like, I can also see them doing to her what they did to Brian, where it's, they grab Brie Bella, and obviously she's not enough to take down any of them. You know, let's be realistic, she's what, 120 pounds?
Yes.
In comparison to Eric Rowan.
Uh-huh.
Who's, you know, 6'8", 315, so... You know, Eric Rowan could easily grab her, throw her over his shoulder, and walk off with her. And they just walk off with Brie Bella.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody knows what happens, and you just have Brian running around backstage trying to find her. And eventually she's found somewhere, and that kind of leads to tension between the two of, you know, you've got to take care of this. You've got to face them.
Right. I could see it.
Because there's also the scenario of, you know, again, it was announced for Survivor Series that Bray Wyatt, Eric Rowan, and Luke Harper are taking on Daniel Bryan in a 3-on-1.
TLC.
So there's... Or, I'm sorry, TLC. I'm sorry, I'm stuck on Survivor Series. It's the Gators. They have Gators.
All right. Continue.
Sorry. Where you have the 3-on-1 scenario where there's either Bryan gets his butt beat down by the Wyatts. Somehow he manages to pull out a victory, or he joins with the Wyatts.
Mm-hmm.
I'll spin this scenario. What would Brie Bella's reaction be to Brian joining with the Wyatts?
I'll spin it this way. Spin it back at you in a way where to save Daniel Bryan, she has to go with the Wyatts.
What, they hold her as insurance?
They will stop attacking him and let him be. In exchange, she has to be to be a part with that, to go along with side them, to join up with them.
What good does that do?
I'm just throwing a scenario out there. I don't have anything other than what if they to save her husband, she aligns herself with the devil.
But what does that do for them, and what does that do for her? I mean, I can see her
because that would eventually maybe to the point where to be back with his wife, he has to go with them.
Oh, I can see that. I can more see it as Brie either goes with him or they take her as a way to keep Brian in line.
That works, too.
That's more what I see of Brie's involvement, is Bray uses her as that control method to control Brian, because, as we know, he likes control.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something of he has Rowan and Harper under his thumb, but if Brian were to... Since he's not going to brainwash Brian, he needs another way to control him. He needs another way to maintain that leadership role, and obviously to have Daniel Bryan's fiance in their possession, that would be pretty much the ultimate insurance policy.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I can also see it of, you know, Bray Wyatt's whole thing in NXT was how far are you willing to go to get what you want?
Right.
What are you willing to sacrifice? So what if Daniel Bryan is forced to sacrifice Brie Bella in his quest for the title? What if they make Daniel Bryan give up Brie?
It's possible.
for their help.
It's possible. Again, it is one of those things that could happen, and in other eras they would go through with it, but I don't know how far they would go this time around, but it's possible.
They seem to like to push the envelope a little bit, and it's something of that envelope is getting pushed, because, you know, as we've seen, we've actually seen some fairly violent brawls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, particularly between Sandow and Ziggler on Monday Night Raw over the last couple weeks. So they're starting to push the envelope, basically push the measures of PG as far as they can take it. So I think it's something of, you could have the Wyatts surround her, you have the Wyatts grab her, you maybe have Bray hold on to her and kiss her forehead, but he doesn't hit the move.
Right. Again, it's all where they want to go, and we'll see if they even touch this ground. Now that we've said it, maybe they'll steal their ideas.
Well, it is out in the universe now, so we'll have to see.
It is. We've been waiting to put it out there now. It's out there for the people to expand and steal.
Yes. So on that note, I think we've run out of things to talk about, haven't we?
I think we have.
Before we go, do you have a rant?
No, I got nothing. I'm good. What about you?
No, I'm good. I don't have any rants, sad to say. So on that note, you've got stuff to plug.
I got stuff to plug because we're believing here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Tomorrow afternoon, RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, and this is the Rack Extra Total Divas as we review episode number 13. Two more after that, and then the Rack Extra goes on hiatus because Total Divas goes on hiatus. Tomorrow night, 9 p.m., it will be WTR Games Garage with Mace. Tune in to find out if he's doing anything at all. It's 9 p.m. Eastern, all on Twitch Player, right here at WildTalkRadio.com. Saturday night, midnight-ish, it's the weird, it's the wacky, it's the unusual, it's CB Radio, as we gear up for That Christmas Show on December 21st. Creative title, I know. That Christmas Show. Go back and listen to episode 308, which was the 6-year show. CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. Sunday night, it is WTR Sunday night, live at 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll recap, actually preview TLC and the Slammy Awards and other news and notes as well. It's with Mace and Omega. It's WTR Sunday night. Monday night's the Raw Post Show at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. You can follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. And reminder, we will be live Wednesday, not Thursday, Wednesday, 11 p.m. Eastern for another edition of The Rack.
All right, well, you can follow me on Twitter at Lins Ward, LinsWard. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Check that out. Under the Psych Ward Designs, you know, contact section, there's a link. It's to my Redbubble store. So if you would like to buy my artworks, they are available on my website, on the Redbubble store, for sale, including Portrait of the Wyatt, which was featured on the WWE app. Just pointing that out.
She is Miss WWE app.
I'm not Miss WWE app, but I got something on the app. How about that?
You got two things on the app. You're Miss WWE app. Just don't. Just deal.
Just deal?
Just deal.
Okay, fair enough. I'll just deal. So, you can also visit CastyRiley.net for all your Casty Riley needs. And, of course, visit our fine sponsors, PWMania.com, TNAsylum.com, The Haven for TNA fans, and, of course, Memorabilia Lane, MimLanePromo.com. Check out RackRadioShow.com. Check out the Rack Extra, including our interview with Ariana Andrews from a couple weeks ago, which was amazing and awesome and fun. And, well, she's heavily featured this week.
She is. She definitely is.
So, for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next Wednesday. Don't forget, send your questions, ask The Rack, for the Christmas show. Until then, bye.